Maureen Dowd is a Pulitzer Prize winning columnist for the New York Times who tackles tough topics for a living. Now she's entering a potential minefield with her second book. It's called Are Men Necessary? I like the cover, by the way. Maureen Dowd, nice to have you here. How you doing?
I'm good, Matt.
Despite the fact that, I mean, clearly the title of this book is going to get a lot of attention, but why'd you want to write about men and women, gender in America?
Well, because I've been writing about things like torture and fake reasons to go to war and a lot of heavy things for 5 years, and I thought it would be fun to change the topic to gender wars, because we haven't talked about where men and women stand in a long time in terms of what worked and what didn't work, starting with the sexual revolution.
Right on the back cover of the book,
right,
you're pretty honest about what you hope to accomplish with it. Do you mind if I read it to you?
Mm.
I don't understand men. They're a most inscrutable bunch, really. I admit I have no answers, but for decades I've loved asking the questions. I possess no special wisdom about redemption in matters of sex and love. I'm not peddling a theory or a slogan or a policy. I'm as baffled as the next woman. So if you don't have answers, what are the questions you want to ask?
Well, that was before I said the Panamanian mating test. That's all we need. There are many questions, which is starting with feminism in the late 60s and early 70s when I came of age, was supposed to protect women from being sex objects and economically dependent and caring too much about their looks. And we've traveled this trajectory where women have gone in exactly the opposite direction.
Yeah, you write about the fact that here we are today and a lot of women are starving themselves to death and going through plastic surgery to look like that Barbie model you were supposed to get away from.
Well, the women on the show, yeah. And, yeah, so we started out, you know, denouncing Barbie. Well, they did. That's why I never really related, because they were trying to take all the stuff that women love, like fashion and high heels and shopping, and demonize it. So now we've gone a little bit too far in the other direction, where feminism has been replaced by narcissism, and women are overly obsessed with looks.
So we've gone from June Cleaver in the 50s, the perfect housewife, mm-hmm. to the bra-burning feminists of the 70s, to how would you describe them today?
Well, now plastic breasts and padded bras, and instead of not shaving their legs, they're like lasering the hair all over their body. Everything is exactly the opposite.
So are you disappointed in women today?
Oh, no. I think it's like great progress. We started out aping men. We were going to dress like them and work like them and have sex like them. And then we had to stop and say, no, we want to relate to the world like women. So it's definitely progress. It's just excess, which is a very American trait.
You know, it's funny because physical appearance is something you write about a lot in the book. And yet you are someone who's gotten a lot of ink over your own appearance. You've been called a vixen and a bombshell in articles I've read. You've been accused of being someone who uses your feminine charms to kind of get what you want. How do you plead?
Well, okay, so in the book I do a lot of gender bending. So what about you? Are you a vixen or a bombshell?
I don't know what the equivalent term would
be.
I probably wouldn't fit the characterization.
The oh, yeah. You're a raven-haired vixen.
But I didn't write a book about it. So I'm just curious, do you plead guilty in the fact that you've also taken to some of these things in terms of physical appearance?
No, that's the point of the book, that in early feminism, they didn't allow women to like glamour and fashion and all the things we like.
So it's okay now?
Oh, yeah. The only difficulty is if it goes too far and women go so far back in retro terms and being so obsessed with looks that they don't even know who's getting on the Supreme Court.
Talk about what you write about men, okay, where men stand right now. Do you still believe, and you talk about a British study from the 20s or so, where it says basically smart men, powerful men, don't want women with high IQs by their side. Do you still believe that?
Oh, well, I agree with Katie. I think strong, successful women can get men. Look at Katie. Men are falling all over her. It's not that. It's just a little trickier, a little harder than we might have thought at the beginning when it was a road to utopian equality, because a lot of the things we did to fascinate men, like having high-powered careers and, you know, this snappy 40s banter, which Katie is an expert at, ended up, some men find that draining. That's all, some.
Intimidating.
Yeah, and then a lot of men, Sarah Silverman has an article in Radar this month about when she was at the stand-up comedian clubs. You know, she wanted to date comics because they had a shared passion, but the comics wanted to date waitresses because they were in awe. So a lot of men, you know, like to be with women who are in awe of them, but that's no problem. Then you just look for men who like to banter and play.
When you work for a paper like the New York Times and you write a book, is it a harrowing ordeal to open the paper and read the review of your own book inside of it?
Well, I actually...
Because I didn't think it was all that wonderful a review.
No. Oh, well, I never read anything about myself, but my mom had a great saying. in cases where people were being catty about you, which is just put out the saucer of milk.
Get ready for the... I'll let her complete the sentence. All right. Maureen Dowd, thanks so much.
Thanks, Matt.
Good to have you here. And if you'd like to read an excerpt from the book, it's called Are Men Necessary? You can go to our website at today.msnbc.com.